Don't worry about your mother and me. Until we get the Falcon patched up, it'll be good not to have so many noses breathing the air. But we'll be okay. We've been in a lot of fixes tougher than this one. Jaina managed to smile, though her fear for her parents remained obvious. I know, Dad. I've seen the holovids. She motioned Ben toward the rear hatch, and used the force to lift Zek off the deck, then stepped to Han's side and gave him a little kiss on the cheek. Let me know how it goes, and may the force be with you.
Yeah.
Not wanting her to see the tears welling in his eyes, and to realize that he was afraid this might be their final goodbye, Han didn't look as she started after Ben. You too, kid. He turned back to the damaged area and started to lay the rest of the reinforcing strips in place. By the time he had finished, Jaina had everyone loaded into the escape pods and was sounding the departure alarm. The turbo laser strikes just kept coming. The Falcon was bucking and leaping like a wild Ronto, and the cabin pressure had fallen to the point that Han was shivering and starting to lose his breath. He didn't feel the escape pods go. The launch alarm simply fell silent, and he had a feeling like something had torn loose inside him.
Han?
Even over the intercom, Leia's voice sounded as though it was cracking.
You still there?
Of course I am.
He started forward, sealing the bulkhead behind him.
You're not getting rid of me that easy.
Nothing's easy with you, Flyboy.
Leia's tone was joking, but a little forced and frightened.
I just wanted to let you know we're ready to jump.
What are you waiting for?
He punched a safety override code into the control panel, then felt a blast of pressure as the hatch irised open.
The sooner we jump, the better.
What about poor Lady Morwan?
3PO asked.
She's still locked in the forward hold.
And safer than we are,
Han replied, stepping through the bulkhead. He closed the hatch behind him and hurried across the main cabin into the flight deck access corridor. The jump alarm chimed, sounding higher pitched than usual in the thin air. Then the lights dimmed, and an alarming purr rose from the engine compartments in the back of the ship. The Falcon began to chug and slow, and Leia's voice rolled down the corridor, cursing and yelling like an aqualish spice smuggler on a bad day. Han leaned close to the wall.
Come on, old girl,
he whispered.
You're not ready for the scrap heap yet, are you?
The purring intensified into a high-pitched whine. Then the lights came back up, and Han was nearly knocked off his feet again as the Falcon leapt into a hard acceleration. He smiled and gave the bulkhead an affectionate pat.
Me neither.
He sealed the bulkhead, then made his way to the flight deck, where the engine whine had grown so high that it was no longer audible to human ears. The Falcon's shuddering had settled into a teeth-tickling vibration, and C-3PO was at the navigator station checking their jump coordinates. Leia was in the pilot's seat, with nothing ahead but dark, empty freedom. Han went to her side and saw by her glassy eyes that there was no need to tell her about the events in back. She had probably sensed Meewal and Cockmame's deaths through the Force, and Jaina would have calmed her to clear the escape pod launches. As for Ben and Jason and the Anakin Solo, there would be time enough to tell her about that later. And if there wasn't, it would be just as well if she never knew. Han leaned down.
It'll be okay.
He kissed her cheek, then slipped into the co-pilot seat.
You've still got me.
Leia let out a shocked snort, then smiled and looked over.
I guess so. She reached across and squeezed his arm. You'll do.
The hyperdrive finally kicked in, and the stars stretched to lines one more time. Tennel Kaa, Queen Mother of the Hapes Consortium, an uncontested monarch of 63 worlds, turned from the newly arrived Jade Shadow toward the sound. Dozens of crew persons, in fireproof refueling suits and tool-draped utilities, were looking out through the containment field, pumping their arms and shouting in joy. Tennel Kaa had retained her throne, but too many Hapens had died on both sides, and too much of the consortium's strength had been squandered on someone else's fight. After a moment, a GAG black shuttle slid into view and began to nose through the containment field. The cheering grew even louder. Jason was returning Alana,
and his timing could not have been worse. Tenel Ka turned back to the Jade Shadow and saw Mara and Jaina already carrying a stretcher down the boarding ramp toward her. Tenel Ka reached out in the Force, counting on Jason to sense her anxiety and figure out the reason. Lying on the stretcher was Zek, pale, unconscious, and heavily bandaged around the middle. Tenel Ka's heart ached to see her old comrade-in-arms wounded so severely, but she forced herself to keep a blank face.
"Master Skywalker, Jedi Solo, welcome aboard."
Tenel Ka stepped forward to greet them, followed closely by the medical team she had brought to meet the Shadow.
"My surgeon is waiting in an operating theater. If you would entrust Zek to the transport team, they will take him up immediately."
"That's very kind," Mara said. "We appreciate it." They passed the stretcher to a pair of red-uniformed medics, who quickly placed Zek aboard a small hover sled, then zipped away toward the back of the hangar.
"Master Skywalker, you're hurt too,"
Tenel Ka cried.
"If you had told us, we..."
"I'm fine. I've just come out of a healing trance." Luke sounded as haggard as he looked. He glanced toward the GAG shuttle, which was now surrounded by jubilant Hapens, and asked, "Is that Jason everyone is cheering for?"
"Yes, it is."
"A hero?" Jaina asked. "You've got to be kidding."
"Not at all," Tenel Ka said sternly. "Jason saved my life, and with it the Hapen monarchy."
Jaina's face hardened as only Jaina's face could. "Does that give him an excuse to fire on his own parents?" Tenel Ka frowned.
"I'm not sure I heard you correctly. Did you say that Jason had fired on Han and Leia?"
"I'm afraid she did," Luke said grimly. Tenel Ka turned to Ben.
"What do you know about this?"
"He didn't have a choice," Ben said. "They're terrorists, and they were trying to escape."
"I'm afraid it's true," Jason said, emerging from his throng of admirers. "The intelligence my parents provided regarding Ducha Algray did us more harm than good, and they were certainly involved in the attack on Her Majesty."
"Han and Leia Solo had as much to do with saving the crown as you did,"
Tenel Ka said, speaking evenly and clearly.
"They risked their lives to provide me with the reversion coordinates of the Algray fleet."
Jason's eyes widened. "They did?"
"Yes,"
Tenel Ka said.
"Furthermore, the Solos placed themselves at even greater risk to make sure the Royal Navy stood firm until Admiral Boatu attacked."
Jason's expression changed from shock to shame. Clearly the attack on the Falcon had been the result of a terrible misunderstanding. Jason had made a grave mistake, but only because he was overcompensating, trying too hard to avoid letting his personal feelings influence his judgment. Luke cast a meaningful glance at Tenel Ka's retinue, then added, "Perhaps we could talk about this aboard the Shadow."
"As you wish."
Though Tenel Ka made it sound as though she were granting a favor, she was relieved to have any excuse to get the Skywalkers and Jaina off the hangar deck so she could sneak Alana away from the shuttle.
"I'll be along in a moment."
Luke bowed and led the others back aboard the Shadow. Tenel Ka turned to the nobles who always accumulated around her when she permitted it. She motioned Major Aspara forward.
"Where is Lady Galmi?"
she asked, frowning.
"I asked her to stay close."
A nervous voice sounded from the back of the flock.
"Here, Majesty."
"Would you come forward, please? There's something I need you and Major Aspara to do for me."
Of course, Majesty."
Galmi shuffled forward, her legs shaking so hard they nearly buckled twice.
"I know it won't change your decision, but I want to apologize."
Tenel Ka met the woman's gaze and frowned.
"For what, Lady Galmi?"
"My tongue was too free with my consort. He was reporting everything I told him."
"To your sister,"
Tenel Ka interrupted.
"I know. And I'm quite sure that it is a mistake you will never make again."
She glanced toward the Shadow.
"Alana is aboard that shuttle, and you are a familiar face to her. I'd like you and Major Aspara to retrieve her and take her to your cabin."
Galmi's eyes widened.
"My cabin, Majesty?"
"Yes, and allow no one inside until I arrive."
Tenelkaw entered the opulent passenger salon of the Jade Shadow to find the discussion already in full swing.
What was I supposed to think, Jason?
Mara's tone was reasonable but pointed.
You sent us there to meet Ben. Instead, Lumaya ambushes us?
That doesn't mean I sent her, Jason responded. Tenelkaw knew how upset he was by the fact that she could not feel him in the Force. He always closed himself off when he grew angry.
You said yourself that you were worried she was after Ben.
Ben wasn't there, Luke said.
I was supposed to be,
Ben interrupted.
Jason dropped a message beacon ordering the rover to go to Roku Depot, but we ignored it.
Ben turned to Jaina.
Ask Jaina. It was her idea.
All eyes turned to Jaina, who reluctantly nodded.
I pretty much insisted on it. We needed to warn the Queen Mother about the Ducha.
Ben turned back to Luke.
You see? It wasn't Jason's fault.
You ignoring an order doesn't explain how Lumaya knew we would be there, Mara pointed out, or why she's been working with GAG.
And I wish I had the answer to that,
Jason said.
I'll be looking into it as soon as the Anakin returns to Coruscant. I want the answer more than you do, I can promise that.
Luke considered Jason's words for a moment before speaking again. What about your parents? Their family, too. I can't cancel the detention warrant, if that's what you're asking. Jason's words shocked Tenelkaw to the core.
Jason, if not for your parents, I wouldn't be alive. Neither would Alana.
I know that, Jason said to her. They risked their lives to save you, but they still have crimes against the Alliance to answer for. Luke stared at the floor for a moment, then looked up to meet Jason's eyes.
Okay, but I haven't changed my mind about Ben. He's still coming back to Coruscant with us. What?
Ben cried.
No way! Jason is my master!
That's not your decision, Ben, Luke said. And Jason isn't a master.
He is to me,
Ben retorted.
No one's as strong in the Force.
It's your father's decision, Jason said. He raised a hand to silence Ben, then turned back to Luke. But is it really necessary, now that Lumaya is dead?
What makes you think she's dead? Mara asked.
You do, Jason answered, frowning. Not 5 minutes ago you said she was wearing a bomb. A bomb that exploded after we left the cantina, Luke reminded him. We don't know that Lumaya was still wearing it. And if I had to guess, I'd say she wasn't, Mara added.
I see.
Jason's gaze dropped to the floor, growing distant and glassy.
Ben, we're all trying to save the galaxy, Mara said, but we don't always agree on how it should be done. And that's why I can't stay with Jason?
Ben demanded.
That's ridiculous.
The reason you can't stay with Jason is because I'm ordering you to return home with us, Luke said sternly. And the reason I'm doing that is because Lumaya told me you were the one helping her in GAG.
And you believed her?
Ben demanded. No, Luke answered. He glanced back toward Jason. But somebody has been helping her. And until I know who that is, you need to stay away from GAG, Jason finished. Your father is right to be cautious, Ben.
But you're my master,
Ben objected. And I'm asking you to stay with your parents until I've sorted this out. Jason looked up at Luke, then added, I'm sure we'll be working together again much sooner than you expect. I hope we'll all be working together again soon. Luke reached across and clasped Jason's arm.
Of course, Jason replied. And now if you'll excuse me, I really should return to the Anakin Solo and get started on that.
Coruscant.
Jedi Master Kip Duren watched Jade Shadow on an approach angle. It was coming straight at the depot at a slightly faster-than-safe approach speed, then rapidly decelerated and dropped into a smooth repulsor-lift landing atop the platform, mere meters from Kip. He grinned. Whoever was piloting, probably Mara, had either playfully or maliciously made the approach as intimidating as possible, the better to spook him into sudden retreat. Of course he hadn't budged. He waved a hand at the shapes within the cockpit, indistinct behind its viewscreens, and waited. Soon enough the boarding ramp descended, and down trotted Luke Skywalker and Mara Jade Skywalker. Kip offered a smile and extended a hand to Luke.
Master Skywalker.
Luke took it.
Master Durin. And Master Skywalker.
Mara gave him a nod of greeting, but Kip detected a trace of irritation or impatience.
Master Durin.
Aunt Mara? Oops. Hello, Kip. Master Durin.
The voice was Janus, and Kip looked up to see the diminutive Jedi at the top of the boarding ramp.
Jaina.
Kip gave her a friendly nod. Giving Kip a brief smile, Jaina returned her attention to Mara.
So can I take Zek and Ben back to the temple now?
Mara nodded.
I think so.
How is Zek? Kip asked. He'll make a full recovery, Luke said. The surgeons on Hapes were very proficient, but he'll be out of action for a while.
Kip gestured to the far side of the platform, adjacent to the depot.
My airspeeder's over here.
Luke stepped into the back seat and settled behind Kip.
So, what is this all about?
Kip sank into the pilot's seat, activated the speeder, and pulled straight back into a speedy reverse that put them within meters of the nearest cross-traffic stream.
Chief Omis and Admiral Nyathol wanted to see you on your return from Hapes. They asked me to bring you. You can opt out if the timing isn't good.
Mara gave him a puzzled frown.
Is this about what happened on Hapes?
Sort of.
Kip gave her a broad, trouble-loving smile.
This time, they want Luke to make Jason a Jedi Master.
This is Mark Thompson. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars: Legacy of the Force, Tempest, by Troy Denning. This program was produced, directed, and abridged by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Jacob Bronstein. Star Wars: Legacy of the Force, Tempest is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2006, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.